You're listening to Classic Dialogues, Land Power in the Indo-Pacific, a China Land Power Studies Center production. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the authors and are not necessarily those of the Department of the Army, the U.S. Army War College, or any other agency of the U.S. government. I'm talking with Colonel Rich Butler, Christopher Sharman, and Dr. Andrew Erickson today about the China Maritime Studies Institute. Butler is the director of the China Land Power Studies Center in the Strategic Studies Institute at the U.S. Army War College. Sharman serves as the director of the China Maritime Studies Institute. He comes to the Naval War College following 30 years as an active duty naval intelligence officer. He served as a diplomat posted to the U.S. Embassy as the Navy attaché in both Vietnam and in China, and as a National Security Affairs Fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. Erickson is a professor of strategy in the U.S. Naval War College China Maritime Studies Institute. A core founding member, he helped establish the institute and started it up officially in 2006. He's played an integral role in its development. From 2021 to 23, he served as research director. The institute inspired the creation of other research centers, which he has advised and supported. He's a China Aerospace Studies Institute associate. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Thank you very much, first of all. It's truly a pleasure to be here in Carlisle, and our thanks to the China Land Power Studies Center for hosting us here. The China Maritime Studies Institute started back in 2004. We were formally established in 2006. We focused on military maritime issues. That's what really separates the China Maritime Studies Institute from any other organization, from any think tank, that we are looking exclusively at these two issues. We look at China from the inside out. In other words, what does China say about the maritime domain, its capabilities, and its future trajectory in that domain? When I talk about the maritime domain, that's much larger than the Chinese Navy. We're also taking a look at the Coast Guard, the People's Armed Force Maritime Militia, Merchant Fleet, etc., the fishing fleet. There's a lot of elements that are in the maritime domain, and we're trying to look at all of these elements. Our scholarship is truly scalable. We focus on a myriad of different topics. But the topics that we're focused on should be most relevant to the United States Navy and to the United States government. Increasingly, what we're trying to do is to focus our research so that it is more directly applicable to the needs of the warfighter. And that's kind of the future direction for where CMSI is going. So for the mission of CMSI, I want to turn to Andrew, if I can, to speak through that a little bit.
Yes, thanks, Chris. Pleasure to be here. Broadly speaking, we're drawing on a pedigreed Chinese language open source research to offer unique insights, particularly regarding surveying PRC military maritime thinking, discern some of the inner layers of that directly, and also trace what you might call some of the frontier intangibles, offering a feel and painting a picture where other sources and methodologies typically don't offer enough insights. At our best, you might say, we're analytical Gretzky's, skating to where the puck is going to be, and thereby helping to answer questions that the U.S. Navy as a whole didn't yet know to ask.
I'd add to that, just simply coming out of theater the last 10 or 15 years, working the problem set at the operational and strategic level, that the insights that they provide really help change the calculus. 10 years ago, we were talking about you need to start paying more attention because there's a lot of really diverse things happening in the maritime domain that are different and not the usual that we were used to seeing. And they've highlighted a lot of that. Now we're moving from the idea of understanding it. They're starting to contribute greatly to what's coming next and after that, because you can work in the common domains much more easily in air and particularly the maritime domain. If you look at what the Chinese fleets mean, that whole idea that it's not just the PLA Navy, it's all the other sister services that are under their control for the most part, it has a huge difference in telling allies and partners what you should be preparing for and sends the signal to our own constituents and our experts what to think and how to think differently. It's been wonderful working with them over the last many years from distance.
I'd love to learn more about your researchers. Who are they? What are their areas of expertise and their research portfolios?
Well, I'll start off and then I'll turn to Andrew to amplify, as he has much more extensive background working with our team, as I'm relatively new as the director of CMSI. I come, it really is the second permanent director to CMSI. I think what I bring to the organization is this mix of diplomatic, operational, and academic background, all focused on China for the last 30 years. So it allows me to talk the talk and interact with academics around the campus, yet engage the fleet and understand what the fleet needs and take that back to the organization. Just a little bit about my own background. Well, let me turn to Andrew to talk about some of the others on the team.
Thanks, Chris. Well, we're delighted to have you leading us in a strong and permanent directorship for a long time to come. Rounding out the rest of the team, for roughly a decade now, we've had the benefit of two very dedicated scholar researchers, Ryan Martinson and Connor Kennedy. And they both have a master's degree from the Johns Hopkins University Nanjing Center, which is really one of the great credentials in Chinese language and area studies analysis. Professor Ryan Martinson researches China's maritime strategy, especially its coercive use of sea power in East Asia, with significant focus on China's Coast Guard and also China's maritime militia. He's published an incredible body of work, and in recognition for this, in 2021, he won the Naval War College's Civilian Faculty Research Excellence Award. For his part, instructor Connor Kennedy researches a wide range of areas regarding PRC military development and maritime strategy, with a special focus on the interaction of military and civil organizations, resources, and factors. So he's done some absolutely pioneering research on China's maritime militia. We are now joined by two additional members of the faculty on the team. Associate Professor Ian Easton joined us from the Project 2049 Institute in Arlington, Virginia, where he was a senior director, long conducting cutting-edge research on PLA issues, broader Asia regional issues, but also with a leading specialty in Taiwan issues, which are only becoming more important. He's published two major books, and I'd highlight in particular The Chinese Invasion Threat, Taiwan's Defense, and American Strategy in Asia. It is phenomenal, and it is widely acclaimed. We're also delighted to welcome Assistant Professor Lieutenant Tiffany Tatt, who also serves as a U.S. Navy Reserve Intelligence Officer. Like other members of the team, she has fantastic Mandarin Chinese language capabilities, and she has spent the last 1.5 years doing research for the National Air and Space Intelligence Center. Finally, rounding out the team, we are blessed with Dr. Julia Familaro with us for a year in residence as a visiting scholar, a postdoctoral fellow in Taiwan Studies at Harvard University. Dr. Familaro received her PhD from Georgetown University. Dr. Familaro, like Professor Easton, brings a phenomenal, deep understanding of Taiwan. And given the way things are evolving in cross-strait military developments, as well as the many scenarios with which CMSI is asked to provide analytical insights to contribute to a deterrent effects that we strongly believe must hold, the Institute is at the point of really having to flesh out its deep Taiwan expertise. And Easton and Familaro in particular bring great and unique capabilities to bear, although as a group, we are also working to get smarter on these important issues.
I should say that we didn't really give due credit to the person on my left, and that's Dr. Andrew Erickson, who is truly a national asset, who has the ears of so many influential leaders in the United States, from the National Security Council, the White House, down to fleet at the four-star level for several different generations of leaders. Andrew is a force multiplier for our organization and is incredibly prolific. I encourage you to just Google his name and go to his website. I think it's andrewerickson.com. It is a great website that has a ton of resources for those that are interested in China maritime issues. I do encourage you to take a look at it.
What are your major production lines? Can you give us some examples of what your organization has published recently, or if you host any China-focused conferences?
We have three major production lines at this point. Our biggest activity is our biannual conference, which results in an edited volume as well as papers that are published in addition to the edited volume. We have a monograph series, 18 and counting now, which we call, technically it's China Maritime Studies, but more colloquially known as Red Books. And then finally, we have our China Maritime Reports, 33 strong and counting. Those are the current ways in which we get our institute branded research out. But I think under Chris's leadership, we'll be able to grow and develop this further.
Do you guys do podcasts or other similar multimedia work?
At this point, multimedia work has been more of an individual set of efforts in a kind of scholarly, independent fashion. However, I do commend the Institute's Twitter account at China Maritime, and we have a website that I believe Chris will be able to explain later. So again, under Chris's leadership, I think we have a great opportunity to grow and develop in some new ways to really try to share our research with people who might find it useful.
We're learning here at the China Land Power Study Center, for example, to mirror some of those product lines. For example, you know, our priority audience is similar to yours. It's really strategic leaders and practitioners, and getting things out in a relatively quick, timely fashion using a good review process that's timely to get that information out so it's not spoiled by the time it hits the avenue is really important. And just to thank you for the fact that first article that our China chair here, Josh Arostegui, was actually published through you guys on the PCH-191 missile system. So
China Maritime Report, number 32.
I think that's an example of how the Army and the Navy can cooperate. So it's good harbinger for what's ahead.
Do you have any future research efforts or other projects and programs our listeners should be aware of?
Absolutely. In addition to what Andrew had mentioned previously in some of the volumes, the China Maritime Reports, et cetera, that we're producing on a regular basis, let me tell you a little bit about where I think we want to go with China Maritime Studies Institute. And there's a couple things that I think I'd like to flag. The first is we're looking to build out what we call our affiliate program. Our affiliate program is where we can leverage academics and researchers that are outside of those that are living there right with us in Newport and to capitalize on their expertise and bring their expertise into CMSI remotely, that being through papers, through lectures, through discussions. So there is going to be a great opportunity for us to be reaching out and engaging the community writ large. Secondly, there's a product line which I would like to develop as the director, and that's called CMSI Notes. There's no question that as we stand today, the urgency of the cross-strait dynamics is only growing, and we have to move faster. It's going to be more and more important that we get information out that's relevant to the warfighter in a more rapid pace. We're going to use CMSI Notes to send out shorter pieces that'll be all unclassified, and that'll be relevant to the tactical operators and the strategic and operational planners. I think I'd also like to speak to a little bit of our upcoming research, if I can. That being, a couple of our products coming out here soon is a piece on Chinese Navy wargaming efforts. So that's one. We'll be also taking a look closely at the Civ-Mil fusion, looking at how the PLA is using barges to both ferry troops and in exercises. We'll be taking a look at the Navy Reserve Forces and how Reserve Forces are augmenting their maritime domain. And with this augmentation of great Taiwan expertise in CMSI, we're taking a look at Operation Causeway. Operation Causeway was the plans for U.S. invasion of Taiwan during World War II. What lessons could we learn there that might be applicable to what's going on now? Ian Easton is tackling that project. The other thing we're looking to do is we do a series of translations, and we'd like to make those more accessible and available to our customer base. So we're looking for ways to do that. There's a lot. I think the future at CMSI is incredibly bright, and it's very exciting for what's ahead, and we have a lot to do. So we look forward to continued partnership with the Land Power Study Center and our other sister organizations, CASI, and up at the National Defense University as well.
Where can our listeners find out more about your organization and its work?
We have a great website, USNWC, that's United States Navy War College, .edu/CMSI. Very straightforward. That's where we post all our products. Everything is unclassified and available for the listener.
Thank you so very much. This was a real treat to speak with you today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For more Army War College podcasts, listeners check out Decisive Point, Conversations on Strategy, and SSI Live.